Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Besties Show over here on the Razzball YouTube channel this year. Many thanks to Razzball. We say it every week, but very grateful for Razzball hosting us this year. You could also find the audio of the show over on Razzball.com. It's awesome that we have this home this year, guys. And Razzball's doing a lot of great things besides obviously employing me to write their DFS articles. But they also doing a live start sit show on Sunday mornings that Bobby hosts. It's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's a really cool show. You know, a lot of the Razzball people jump in here and there. So make sure you check that out while you're over on their YouTube page. But it was a very interesting week 3, guys. And we still have one more game to go. So we're not closing the door on it quite yet. But with me today, two of my fantasy besties. We got Kevin Tompkins and we got Lindellians. We are missing Coop and Loop this week, so we don't have our rhyming buddies. But hey, we got Kevin, we got Linda back. So what's up, peeps?
We kicked them out, so it's just us three from now on.
It got too confusing, Coop and Loop. I couldn't get it right, so had to cut them.
My wife still can't get it right.
Yeah, imagine having to keep track of 5 people. 3 is the magic number.
Every time I talk, it's like, it was that Coop or Loop?
Yeah. It was all about the budget cuts, like in this economy.
And honestly, I mean, you know, Coop was just drinking us out of house and home here. I mean, and that's
also
probably what he was doing
they
this weekend.
Out. Like, we didn't let him know beforehand. So sorry, guys. So this is how you're learning.
Surprise.
Maybe we'll let him back. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this show does. We'll see how many viewers we get. We'll see if, you know, we got a little bit more budget in there for him. And Linda, we missed you last week. I mean, I know that you were cool. You know, you got other things to do than be with us. But you're back now. And it was a good week for you. I mean, my guy Riley Patterson was killing it. So shout out to them kickers, right? But your boy, Jelani Woods, 2 touchdowns. But on the other side of that, your boy Nathaniel's not quite hacking it. Even though you got the W, that was pretty miserable. So, Linda, you missed last week. Take a few minutes. Talk about whatever you want. The good things, the bad things. What's on your mind?
I'm glad I missed last week because you guys ate some crow. So that was fantastic for me not to be here. You know, I wouldn't have had a lot to say. I'm pretty much always right. So if I had to miss one, that was the one to miss. That being said, this weekend, in terms of like for like sports, like win loss records, I had OU and Texas lost. As an Oklahoma State fan, that's as good as it gets for me. The Chiefs lost to Jelani Woods, 2 touchdowns, and the Broncos won whatever it was that they played last night. So as a whole, it was a great sports weekend for me. Oklahoma State had a bye, so I didn't even have to worry about them. That's perfect. But yeah, the concern is large and in charge when it comes to the Broncos right now, because we're not riding anything but like whitewater rapids. And I'm not having, I was promised fun. It hasn't been fun. It's been bumpy and I've been thrown off board a few times, but we did see like a glimpse of the Russell Wilson we're used to in one drive. And then the very next drive, they went three straight runs and a three and out. And it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay.
So stay there with me for a second, Linda, because obviously, you know, we were all expecting a lot. Russ coming over to Denver, everybody had high expectations, none more than you Broncos fans, right? So after seeing 3 weeks of whatever this is, we put some blame on Hackett. We put a lot of blame on Hackett. We put some blame on Russ. Maybe they're not gelling. Maybe, you know, they can't figure out the run game. What is it? Because there are talented players on this roster. Is it all Hackett's fault? What's going on?
I don't have an answer to that. I think a lot of it lies with coach and game scheme and what they're letting Russ do. But, like, it's everything, man. It's just like you said, it's just not gelling in like the worst possible way. It's like the worst textured food you've, it's tapioca pudding. That's what it is. That's how we're gelling right now.
All right. So and Denver Broncos equal tapioca pudding. Well, you heard it here first.
Well, let me at least say just in the Broncos defense that the same system, Aaron Rodgers, it took him a little bit of time to get used to everything with terminology and everything. So, I'm not super worried about the Broncos.
We're first in the AFC West too. So
yeah, there's going to be an adjustment period. So I mean, Cortland Sutton's still eating. I mean, Javonte's Williams is eating to a degree. I mean, there's still weapons there that have to get kind of, you know, molded in with everything. But once that all happens, I think they're going to be right up there, you know, with the top teams in the AFC West and into the top teams in the AFC. Might take a little bit. I mean, clearly we're seeing the bumps, you know, right now, but I think it'll all smooth out mid-season and into toward the playoffs.
And I think the key part
to be a patient person, Kevin.
No. Yeah, imagine being a patient person, like anytime.
Could not be me.
I think the key part that you said was where they sit in their division, right? Like their division's a little bit of a mess right now, so it's giving them time to gel. It's giving them time to figure it out. So even though they're having these blunders, they're pulling off wins in these, you know, cricket matchups or whatever that was that we saw yesterday. And it's giving them some time to get their stuff together without really falling behind the division. So that's a good point, Kev. So, I mean, that matchup or that game or cricket match or whatever you want to call it that we watched last night was pretty disgusting. So take us to the other side of it, Kev. What was your favorite thing that you saw yesterday?
Jalen Hurts for MVP. I'm putting it out there right now. Like Jalen Hurts just – The thesis of Jalen Hurts was, well, maybe he'll have that Josh Allen-like career path where, you know, he was objectively bad and then he got a stud receiver and now they're growing together. And who better than your best friend, A.J. Brown? But alas, I mean, yesterday it was new best friend, Devonta Smith. JB, you know a little something about that. Certainly yeah, Devonta Smith. yeah, but I mean, Jalen Hurts, I mean, he didn't do too much on the ground yesterday, but what, 300 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, right now, I mean, we love to react to everything in real time. He's looking like the MVP right now. And as the kids say, it's not particularly close. So look out for the Eagles. Add Jalen Hurts to those weapons with adding in Dallas Goedert to that defense who – the other shoe finally dropped on Carson Wentz. If you read the Fantasy Life newsletter, I did kind of foreshadow that a little bit in the Sunday morning. It's Eagle season, baby, right now.
It is, and we're going to compare him to another guy who's looking like a front runner for MVP also a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that.
Romeo Dubs?
Yeah, exactly. But thank you for that, Kev, because one of the things that was my favorite thing to watch yesterday was hard-nosed defensive football, watching my Tampa Bay Bucks go up against your Green Bay Packers. And although the result wasn't what I would have wanted, it was a hard-nosed defensive football game. And a lot of people, and we live here in this fantasy football space, we want points, we want scoring, we want, you know, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and that's great for fantasy football. But every once in a while, I like to be reminded of what made me love this sport. And it was watching that Bucks defense in the 90s, that hard-nosed defense, that come get it. We're going to, you held that ball, we're going to knock you out. You know, we're going to make it hard for you to score. we're going to grind the ball. Like, that's the type of football that I like to watch, and it was nice to see that again, and it was nice to watch that game. I mean, last night, you know, Luke made a comment in our group chat, like, oh, you know, they scored too many points now for JB in this game. But that wasn't good hard-nosed football. That was just bad football. Like, yeah, there's a big difference between
that football needed, like, rhinoplasty.
I mean, honestly, Kev, I had the game split screen that I wasn't even listening to it. I was watching Big Brother on the other half of the screen. I was watching, shout out to Taylor. Congratulations to Taylor winning Big Brother. But, like, I had to just get that off to the side because I couldn't just watch that game. So.
You watching Big Brother, Jade?
Stop it. Get some help.
Hey, Linda was watching it, too. Don't even doubt it.
No, she wasn't. She does not. Her best friend watches it, so, like, when it's Big Brother season, I know, because
I know
I can't fucking get a hold of her. But
well, we tweet about it. Craig's yeah. and I, we tweet oh, about yeah. it.
Yeah, she's got they. You guys do like fantasy football for Big Brother, and I don't. But no, I don't watch. I read though. I put it on mute and read.
Nice, so, Toronto Dave. It's a Scott Fishbowl. It's a SFB 12 Potathon chair, Dave.
Yeah, the real ones watch House of the Dragon on Sundays. If they're gonna watch anything,
I just got
not gonna say anything. I don't want to spoil anything.
Propaganda, and then I'm done with HBO. I just needed Malcolm Rodriguez content.
Malcolm Rodriguez was having some trouble in coverage yesterday, Linda. I know we love our guy, but he was having some trouble in coverage.
That was definitely his biggest knock, was his coverage play. So, you know, he'll work on it. That's all you can do.
And he will, because he's that type
of
player.
Fucking monster tackle on Dalvin Cook too. So, you know, I got to look at both sides here for my boy.
Absolutely, I'm okay. Yes, yes, Scampers.
I'm okay with his take.
Yes, Scampers. American Gladiators over everything. I miss that show, man.
Give me versus Loop and like the jousting where we got the little, you know, the Q-tips.
Gladiators ready. Contender yeah. ready.
What was that game that you had to like run through the thing and they had like the gun with like tennis balls?
Yep. And then you had to hide behind the thing and try to hit the target. And half the time they would just like grab something and shoot and run to the next one, not even trying to hit the target.
I forgot what it was called, but that was awesome. That was the best game. That one and the one where you had to go through, you had to take the ball, like get it through to like the other like
Yep, when there was two little baskets on both ends.
Yeah, and you had to like dodge and weave, duck, dive and dodge.
My best friend and I used to play those games in my basement. Like we would set up my basement and put like a basket on each end and try to play that game and just tackle the crap out of each other.
How much drywall did you have to fix?
A lot.
What was the one on like, it was on like VH1 or MTV and they like made up their professions and stuff and it was like Blowout or before we Americans made it into Blowout, it was like that other game. What the hell was it called? What?
Wipeout?
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. Not Wipeout, but the original one.
I was going to say Blowout's like a bad...
Oh, with the Asians, right? The Asian version of that?
They dubbed over it, yes.
Yes, and then we just
stole it.
Yes. Oh, I forgot what it was called.
Somebody tell me what it was
called. Somebody in the chat, what was it called? That was funny.
Game shows.
That was funny. Speaking of game shows, we got to get Bestie's game night back here. So, Kev, let's start working on that. Let's figure out a time for that.
You know what? I did the last one. I was the gracious host.
Oh, it's Coop's turn.
Chip Periwinkle. Chet Summerstein's got to get on that.
All right. So, we talked about Dalvin Cook a little bit. Let's talk about his teammate because he was one of our fantasy duds this week. And Justin Jefferson now 2 weeks in a row has been a bit of a disappointment. I mean, yesterday he only had 4 fantasy points or 4.4 or something like that. But there was a lot of high-end players that were kind of fantasy duds this week. You look at Justin Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor only 12 points and CMC only 13.5 points and you know, that's still decent, but that's not what you expect from your number one and number two fantasy pick. DeAndre Swift, 7.5 points. Alvin Kamara, 7 points. Joe Mixon, under 7 points. And Aaron Jones, only 5.5 points. These are some high-profile, big-name players that just laid a dud in fantasy football lineups this week. So which of those guys, or maybe somebody different than those guys, but which would you say, Linda, is the biggest disappointment? Are you concerned about any of them? And are you looking to trade any if you have any on your team?
No, I'm a bad trader. It makes me like massively anxious. But I will say, I think with Swift, you kind of know what you're getting with him. He's been injured. So am I making a weird noise?
Nope.
Okay, I heard a noise. So Swift has been injured. He hasn't had a whole lot of volume. It's just he's had two 50-yard runs, you know? So I think you kind of took that gamble starting him in your lineups. I'm going to take that gamble every time. Where I drafted Swift, I'm not going to bench a guy I drafted that level of ADP probably ever. I think probably the biggest concern, I don't know. It's hard to be concerned about like Justin Jefferson, but right now, two games in a row where it was just not great production is certainly concerning. The quarterback play overall has been lower, I think, this season so far. I thought Kirk Cousins was going to do a lot better in that new system, and it's just been not great. So that's probably my biggest concern right now, just because of where you had to draft him. Oh, and yeah. Baker Mayfield killed Christian McCaffrey. So that's also a concern as well.
And DJ Moore. And I know Kev's pouring one out for DJ Moore right now. But I think you're right. And I think Swift, where we drafted Swift, it's hard to keep him out of lineups. Although now we might have to keep him out of the lineup because it looks like he might be out for a couple of weeks. So, you know, we might have to at this point. But, yeah, if he's out there, it's hard to keep him out because I was just talking to somebody yesterday, that was asking me about a trade, and he was going to be trading away Swift. And I was like, dude, I mean, I think when that guy's out there, he could be a league-winning type of back. So I wouldn't trade him unless you're, like, in dire need and you have an abundance of running backs. Hold on to him. Let him get healthy now, and then we could put him back in our lineup. But, yeah, I think you're right, Linda. What about you, Kev?
I'm not too concerned with any of them because I haven't drafted any of them besides Justin Jefferson. So I guess maybe Joe Mixon. I've never really been enamored with him anyway. I think last season was probably his best outcome that he'll have or close to it. Just everything kind of fell with his health and just the state of the offense, where at the beginning of the season up to the midseason, they were pretty run heavy. And now with Higgins, now with Chase, now with, you know, obviously Boyd, and then their ramp up in the passing game, it kind of renders Mixon more of a two down guy where he has to get the touchdowns to be able to get a ceiling outcome. Swift, I'm not concerned about. He's a stud whenever he's out there. And then Aaron Jones, it's just tough games, you know, Chicago. I mean, he certainly got his against Chicago, Tampa Bay, kind of see where, you know, it wasn't going to be his, you know, ceiling outcome game. Those games, yeah, they're few and far between. But, you know, he's very consistent when he is out there. CMC, I'm a bit concerned about just because Matt Rhule and Baker Mayfield are like a match made in heaven. They're both a couple donks that don't deserve to be on a football field. Jonathan Taylor, the Colts might just suck. Like, honestly, they got a big win. The Chiefs did everything they could do to just lose that game and then did. But I still think the Colts are like a 6-11 team. I don't think they're a good team at all.
The Chiefs were their own worst bienemy yesterday.
How long did you have that one queued up? Like, my God, that thing was in the holster just ready to come out. Taylor, I'm concerned about because he's gotten a little more usage in the passing game, but he still is in danger of being game scripted out. And that passing game is just bad. Like we saw how the stone worst it could get last week against the Jaguars. He got shut out without Pittman. Now they have Pittman, but everybody knows that he's getting the ball. I mean, that helped Jelani Woods, but how are we really relying on, you know, Jelani Woods to be out there more often than Kylan Granson and Mo Alley Cox? Probably not. I mean, I hope so.
Counting on is strong, but I'm hopeful.
Right. That also, yeah, and that also assumes rational coaching too. So, so that's where I kind of stand with those guys. Probably the least concern is with Swift when he's out there, but that's going to be tough. Jamal Williams is probably going to be getting that start here. I will go over that in the famous Kevin Tompkins injury report later.
I'm glad you touched on Aaron Jones a little bit because that was a bad matchup against the Tampa run D. Everybody knows they've had a tough run D for the last couple of years. It might be a good opportunity for people to buy low on an Aaron Jones coming off a down game with the A.J. Dillon, you know, split backfield that people have been scared about since draft season. Do you look at any of these guys, Kev, as somebody that you would be looking to buy low on right now after a couple of down performances?
I mean, buy low on Aaron Jones. You want to know their schedule coming up? New England, they'll be favored by probably a touchdown or more in that game. Giants, Jets, Washington, Buffalo. Like, that Buffalo game is going to be plenty involved in. I mean, Buffalo's going to be favored, but, you know, that's a – and then Detroit and Dallas. So they've got plenty of usable, you know, you can get some ceiling outcomes out of Aaron Jones there. I would certainly look to if you're able to buy low on him. I mean, it's tough to call him a buy low because he hasn't really, like, been bad, but he just hasn't been, you know – I guess he's just been level where you've been taking him in drafts. And if you're going to draft the second round running back, you're hoping that he can be – you know, that league winner where you didn't have to spend a first round pick on him. So that's kind of the thesis there. But yeah, like I said, it's weird calling it buy low, but if you can, Aaron Jones would be a definite target. No Packers bias here. I think he's fantastic. If you can get him on your fantasy team.
That's a pretty juicy upcoming schedule. Once you said that, it's like, yeah, let's definitely go out and get him. And there might also
that's a
be
let's
some
ride.
Yeah. There might also be some other Packers that we'll touch on later also that you might want to be riding with on that schedule. The guy I'm most concerned with out of that group, guys, is Alvin Kamara. And I'm surprised neither of you brought him up because it's been something that we were a little concerned about coming in. We saw those games that Jameis played with him last year. He wasn't getting the same volume as a pass catcher like he used to. And now we're seeing it again. I mean, he did miss last week, but in the two games he has played so far this year, we're not seeing that. And we were thinking, all right, you know, maybe it was just early Jameis trying to air it out last year and make things happen. And they'll come back to their senses this year, right? You got to involve Alvin Kamara. You got this stud. You know, we kind of have to get him involved, but they're not doing it. And you look at that game yesterday. I mean, it was disgusting. So you'd like to think that maybe they'll come back from that and say, okay, hi, yeah, we have Alvin Kamara here. We need to use him, and then maybe we'll play competitive football against bad teams like we didn't do yesterday. But it's concerning because they haven't shown us that they're willing to do that. Jameis hasn't shown us that he's willing to check down. I saw a screenshot. I don't remember. I was just scrolling Twitter before, and I don't remember who posted it. But there was a screenshot on a third down. It was like a third and two with Alvin Kamara sitting about 7 yards down the field in the middle of the field, wide open, nobody anywhere near him. And Jameis didn't throw the pass that way to extend the drive. He took a shot deep, incomplete, settled for a field goal. So, like, these are the things that make me concerned about Kamara because the talent's there, but they're not using him the way that they need to, and that's scary for me.
Yeah, he got a bump up in routes, too. And the crazy thing is, you know, Michael Thomas left the game. Jarvis Landry left the game. It was like Chris Olave, and that was a prime spot for him to be able to at least just soak up garbage, you know, receptions and all that, and he didn't even do that. Like, he earned 7 targets, but he only caught 2 of them. So, I mean, maybe it's a Jameis thing at this point because we always knew that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater would dump down, Drew Brees would dump down. It's just not Jameis's game. He would look rather, you know, rather look downfield. And Chris Olave has like 500 air yards in the last 2 games. Like,
yep.
That's Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is not, you know, dump down, check down Charlie like Aaron Rodgers was yesterday.
Exactly. And that might be a concern. And let's put Loop's comment up on the screen because Loop is joining us, even though he's not here on screen with us. Loop's worried about Austin Ekeler, and rightfully so. I mean, Ekeler, his involvement in the offense, not necessarily yesterday, but the week before was non-existent. And then yesterday, I don't know if you could just kind of toss that game out because Herbert wasn't really himself. But Linda, are you concerned about Ekeler too?
Yeah, I think you are concerned about Ekeler, but in fairness, he said before the season started that he wanted to be on the field. I mean, he wanted to play less, essentially. He was getting beat up. He wanted help in the backfield. So he got that answered. You know, I don't have a whole lot of Ekeler, so I guess that concern kind of floated right over my head. But absolutely you're concerned with his workload. And you knew he wasn't going to recreate the amount of touchdowns that he had last season. I think you had to know that also when you went into drafts. But there's definite concern if he's not going to get more involved than he is right now.
Yep, absolutely. Cameron's got a question for us too, Kev. Cameron wants to know our thoughts on Amari Cooper after seeing his production in weeks 2 and 3. He's currently Cameron's wide receiver 2. Do we think that packaging him up with Dawson Knox could get him an upgrade at wide receiver 2? 16-team full PPR league. Well, I'd like to know who your other tight end would be if you do trade Dawson Knox. But I think, guys, anytime you're going to package a wide receiver two with another startable asset, you could probably be able to get some sort of an upgrade there, no?
I mean, yeah. I mean, at first thought, until I saw the 16 teams, I mean, that kind of is the clincher where Dawson Knox would be certainly an acceptable, you know, player in that, because Dawson Knox is just not really been that good, but a lot of tight ends have not really been that good either. So, yeah, you can probably get an upgrade. Just not sure what, you know, I would kind of just, if Amari Cooper, even though it's going to be a low volume passing offense, I mean, Amari Cooper has shown that he's going to be that guy to get targeted. I mean, I'm not super, it looks like he just, Njoku is the other tight end in his roster. And I agree. I like his usage a little bit better too. Yeah, I mean, with Njoku and Amari Cooper, I mean, that's the thing. That's pretty much 50% of, like, their passing game right there. Like, that's at least the two guys you can bank on there. So, I mean, I don't know what you could do. I don't know really an upgrade that you can make. I mean, I would still I think I would ride it out with Cooper while you have him. I mean, maybe trade Knox and see if he can get, like, a buy low guy. I don't know, like a Robbie Anderson or something like that. I'm trying to think of guys that you can get there. You might be able to get like a Romeo Dubs. You might be able to get for him. So, I mean, obviously a tight end with only just so many finite options is certainly worth something there. I mean, Dawson Knox on a clear, great passing offense. It's tough. What do you guys think? What do you think that he could fetch there? You think they should deal Cooper and Knox?
Well, that's kind of where I'm stuck. So, Linda, tell me if you have any ideas of players, because if I look at packaging Amari Cooper to upgrade, what am I upgrading to, right? Because if I'm going to package a guy that is a PPR machine, right, basically the only wide receiver option on his team in a full point PPR league, who are you looking to get? You're not going to package him with Knox to get T. Higgins. So, like, who can you get, Linda? Who would you be looking at?
Yeah, see, that was the first name that came to my mind. I think to step up from Amari Cooper, and I don't think Amari Cooper is some, like, lowly – he's clearly shown the last 2 weeks that he's that offense, especially right now. And Jacoby Brissett has been fine. He's been fine. I don't think – I think that offense has worked just fine to start the season. So I'm not – I think if you're going to move up for a wide receiver with Amari Cooper and somebody like Dawson Knox – the chance of you getting a guy like T. Higgins are pretty low. And then it's just really a lateral move that you're giving up a tight end that, should injuries happen to that Bills passing offense, he certainly becomes more viable. You know, right now it's not great because he's not getting a whole lot of targets, but he could certainly get into a situation where he becomes a more viable start. So I'm probably not moving Amari Cooper right now. I think he's a hold for me. Again, not a very good trader, makes me very nervous, but I think you're most likely to move lateral with something like that instead of up.
Yeah, Cameron, I think we're in agreement that you should hold put there. If you want to take a stab at something, maybe just throw some offers out there or just have some conversations. If it's a, you know, a league of friends, family, people that you're close with, that you text with, throw some feelers out there. Maybe the Justin Jefferson owner's panicking. Maybe, you know, the guy that has T. Higgins also has Ja'Marr Chase and doesn't want to have both of them and is just looking for an opportunity to trade. So, you know, maybe it's someone out there looking to make a deal. If you can throw some offers out there for an upgrade, go for it. But if you're going to make a lateral move, like Linda said, I'd stay put and be confident in Cooper there. We got one more post-trade question here. We got XX Day Day, who said that, I traded Hollywood and J-Rob for Derrick Henry. Did I win with the buy low, sell high? I don't know. I don't like saying a team won or lost without knowing their team, because
I will say it. Can I say it?
Go ahead. I know you don't love Derrick Henry, so I know what you're going to say.
No, I just don't like it. I, you know, Hollywood Brown certainly made, you know, had a great end of the game, you know, just racking up targets. I think he has like 17 targets. And what he ended up with. And J-Rob has been like the medical marvel of, you know, fantasy this year, coming back from Achilles injury in December. So, and then Derrick Henry, he had a good game last week, but I mean, that, I guess that is, you know, obviously that's buy low, but I'm just not sold on that offense and sold on Derrick Henry off of that foot injury. He has not looked the same. It's a tough proposition to trade two proven, I mean, I would say proven producers through 3 weeks, Hollywood Brown and J-Rob, to kind of I don't know what the ceiling is for Derrick Henry right now, but I don't think it's what it was before. So I would rather have the two quality players there. At least James Robinson is pretty much made Travis Etienne look like expensive Rex Burkhead through 3 weeks. As you know, it's sad to say my brand took a hit these 3 weeks, but yeah, I'm not feeling the Derrick Henry trade.
I kind of agree with you. I think it was giving up a lot, but then Day-Day came back and said that he now has Najee, Derrick Henry, and Dameon Pierce. So with that running back core, he kind of needed to make a move for a Derrick Henry. He needed somebody like, yes, Pierce is stepping up now and looks to be taking over that backfield, but Najee's been questionable. He's been battling injuries. So look, man, I always say this is why I don't like picking winners and losers of trade. If you feel that it helps your team and it improved your team, then you won. That's the way I look at it. You know, if in any trade, we could look at it from, you know, 3,000 feet in the air and say, well, you know, player versus player in a vacuum, we like this side versus that side. But as long as you feel like a trade helps your team win, man, I'm with you, Day-Day. If you think that helps your team win, go on, go get it.
Yeah, and this Matt Chester gave up Marquise Brown to go from RB2 to RB15. Yeah, that's another thing. Chasing pass production is like one of the biggest pitfalls in fantasy. Like, just people have like the emotional attachment to guys that have been studs in the past. You know, this is not an Ezekiel Elliott thread, but it might be an Ezekiel Elliott thread. but you know, I'm just riding J-Rob and I'm riding Marquise Brown. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be back in the next couple, you know, next few weeks here. So that is certainly something to consider too. But if you're going to trade Marquise Brown, I think you got to trade him maybe next week or so and kind of get that max value out of him while you have him and then kind of deal him. I mean, he's still going to be part of the offense, but I can understand why you'd make that move. Yeah. But the whole chasing pass production thing, I would have stuck with J-Rob and Marquise Brown versus, you know, I just think Derrick Henry's too volatile an asset right now to be able to spend that capital and trade two quality pieces for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and J-Rob's not going to stay RB2 all season. We know that. We don't know that, but we know that, right? So, like, it's all relative. But, Linda, would you trade Javonte Williams for Chubb right now?
For Chubb?
Yeah, probably. If you had Javonte, would you trade him for Chubb right now?
Probably.
That was Deluxe Crane Plays asking us that question, and I do agree with you, Linda. I think that I would trade Javonte for Chubb. I think that, you know, Kev, you've said it. You've been saying it all along. Nick Chubb's a league winner, right?
Yeah, I've been saying that for, like, years now, that Nick Chubb is a league winner, and it now finally just comes to fruition. I have been slaving away with the Nick Chubb grinders. We're finally got our moment in the sun. We have used that pickaxe in the content mines and finally got that little glimmer of light to come out. And it's just, I feel very validated in my entire process that we were able to get Nick Chubb to the promised land, to the mountaintop.
Well, while you're taking an undeserved victory lap, let's get into our victory laps now, because last week we did kind of eat crow, like Linda mentioned before. We talked about a few of our preseason misses, like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Cole Kmet, and we went into all that last week, right?
So congratulations, Cole Kmet, by the way, for scoring fantasy points.
Upgrade. But let's take a few minutes today, guys. Let's talk about some hits. It could be hits from this week. It could be hits that were, you know, guys that you talked about going into this season that so far are looking good. So, Linda, I'm going to start with you. Who is your victory lap this week, this season so far? Who you got?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is so cheap, and it's like way early to be celebrating something like this, but it's Stefon Diggs, who I think should have been in that top tier with the Cup, Jefferson, Chase world. You know, he's the clear-cut wide receiver one in Buffalo, attached to Josh Allen. He's been a top 10 wide receiver the last 2 years with Josh Allen. And he just has the opportunity to finish as the overall wide receiver one at the end of the season. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I am saying he is right now. So I'll take it. Small victories. If I could just cut the season into 3 week sample sizes, I'd probably feel a lot better about
No, but I like that. And Linda, a lot of people were scared to put him on that top tier because there was so much hype around Gabe Davis in the offseason, right? Everybody in the industry was talking about Gabe Davis. So it kind of took him down a peg. Well, it was like, why weren't we that worried about T. Higgins when we talk about Ja'Marr Chase?
Should have been more worried about T. Higgins than Gabe Davis, like by a lot.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I like that call, Linda. That's a good victory lap. You wipe the sweat from your brow. That's a good one right there. That was a good call. And you were talking about him in the offseason as that guy that should be in that tier. So cheers to you. Chug that truly. Kev, what about you, man? What's your victory lap?
Zero RB works. It's going to be a thing. We're already seeing it with three ninth round or later running backs in the fantasy top 10 right now. We're looking at James Robinson, Khalil Herbert, Jamal Williams. And look at that. Running backs are getting hurt. We'll talk about that later. Khalil Herbert's going to be getting a starting role with David Montgomery likely out. James Robinson, we just talked about him being a stud and now has relegated Travis Etienne to expensive Chris Evans. And now Jamal Williams, Mr. Hip Thrusting, Personal Fouling, Swag Daddy himself. I just sounded really white when I said Swag Daddy, but I'm going to roll with it. Yeah, I mean, imagine drafting a running back in the first round when you have all these awesome wide receivers and Jalen Waddle and you know, just the list goes on. I mean, this is the year of zero RB, baby. We're living in it.
I hate it. I hate to admit that it's like kind of working right now because, like, I just can't do it, man. Like, I understand the concept of it and I understand, and you're seeing examples of why and how it works. It just feels so ugly to walk out of a draft room with Rashad White as your RB2 like you were doing all freaking summer. I can't do it, dude. I can't do it. Works or not, I can't do it.
So to put a bow on this, zero RB work.
Well, I'm not going to talk about running backs. I'm going to talk about my wide receiver this week because I'm still – sweating. I'm losing weight this week with all the victory lapping I'm doing on Devonta Smith because this might have been one of my best DFS calls in the couple of years I've been doing DFS content. I put him in as a must start and I was so confident about it that I was even tweeting about it after the fact. Like I put, as I tweeted out my article on rasball.com, I tweeted out and said, spoiler alert, Devonta Smith is the value of the slate this week. I was responding to other people's tweets about DFS like, hey, $5,200 Devonta Smith is a smash this week. He put up 33.9 points on DraftKings for a 6.5 times return on investment. Guys, you look for a 3 times return on investment to win tournaments. You put this guy in your lineup yesterday. I haven't looked to see who the Millie Maker winner lineup was yet, but I could pretty much guarantee it probably had him in there. It was probably a Lamar, Devonta Smith, Mark Andrews lineup because anybody who had that combination yesterday was making money. So I am so proud of that call. I'm very happy with that call. And that man made a lot of us some money this week.
Yeah, I took him out of the Britt Flynn, Coop, and Jacob Sanderson quad manage a Football Guys league. And Saturday night, I took Mike Williams out of the lineup and put in Devonta Smith.
Because you read my article?
Yeah, something like that. No, I did read your article though. But yeah, so I mean, that's tough not knowing with Justin Herbert, but yeah, Devonta Smith was just an absolute, just a hammer in a necessity, especially if you're going to make some money in DFS in week three. I mean, week three was just a weird week altogether. I mean, we saw Matt Collins, we saw, it was just so wild. But yeah, Devonta Smith was one of the hammers he needed.
Absolutely. And shout out to you for football guys, team there going 3-0. Mine's 2-1. So we're making moves. I had a pretty dominating performance this week. I won by like 50 points. So let's hope that we keep crushing it. That's a big football guys FFPC league that we're both in, and hopefully it'll pay off for us in the long run.
Absolutely.
Little early to victory lap on that one, but
yeah, we gotta stay in the starting gates for now.
Yep, absolutely. But victories, we got five teams that finally got their first victories this week. We had talked about the Colts before upsetting the Chiefs. Bengals took care of the Jets. Titans held on against the Raiders. That one was, I didn't know how that one was going to go. Panthers, we talked about upsetting the Saints in an ugly one. Like, I honestly have all the games on, and I flip around and I put a couple up at a time. I don't think I watched more than like 3 minutes of that game. That was ugly.
It was barely on red zone. Like, I kept having to be like, what is the score of that fucking game? Not on red zone.
Yeah, nobody wanted to watch that game. And another ugly one was the Falcons and the Sea Chickens. I mean, the Falcons finally got their W there, but I mean, those are two teams that nobody really wants to watch either. Even though, I mean, I got to be honest, Geno's been a little impressive. I mean, he's made some nice throws. He looks like a competent football player. That's more than I expected from him. So any of these guys, real quick, any of these five teams that got their first wins, a team that you think might be in playoff contention and be able to work their way back? Kev?
Bengals be fine. I don't really think there's much worry about them. They're going to have their day. I already talked about the Colts. Just I think they're complete and utter crap. Titans are smoke and mirrors. I just don't think they're very good either. As long as Matt Rhule is the head coach, the Panthers are just a tire fire, an unmitigated disaster. The Falcons have some upside. I mean, after all the calls to get Kyle Pitts involved, free Kyle Pitts, they did, and then they kind of blue-balled us. You know, he got all his production in the first quarter, and then he had one catch after that in the fourth quarter. That was pretty much it. I was just sitting there waiting because I was watching Red Zone and, you know, seeing all these highlights, and none of them were from Kyle Pitts. They were all the late game. I mean, I was watching the Packers and Fox, but, you know, I was flipping over trying to see at least a little something, and it was not happening for the Falcons. I mean, Drake London got that touchdown. But, yeah, the Falcons, if they can finally, you know, put some of this stuff together, can be at least interesting. I think they're going to be a fun offense. Marcus Mariota has been pretty solid, too. So, you know, say what you want there. I think he's holding off Desmond Ridder for now. But, you know, as far as the other teams, I think Panthers, the Titans, and Colts are kind of dust. You know, prove me wrong, guys. Prove me wrong. Bengals, I think, will be just fine.
Well, Pierre's kind of offended in the chat there. Pierre said, whoa, Kev, whoa. And I know that's about you calling his Colts dust. Linda, what about you? You think the Colts are real? You think any of these one-win teams can get it going?
No. What I do want to say is that the Raiders all you had to,
all, Linda, all you had to do was just tell me to play this video.
Looks just like her.
Yeah. The Raiders are 0-3, which is fun. And also, I just want to say that Jelani Woods has more touchdowns in his career than Kyle Pitts. So just want to leave that on the table. We can go to the next question.
All right. So speaking
I
of
we were friends,
Kev, you brought up the Eagles before and you brought up how impressive Jalen Hurts was. I'm just as impressed at what Lamar Jackson's doing with his 3-0 or his 2-1 team, but also what Tua's doing with his 3-0 Dolphins. Nobody expected the Dolphins to win that game yesterday, and they came out concussion, back injury, whatever it was, to come out on top of Buffalo in a game that pretty much everyone had Buffalo winning. Which of those 3-0 teams do you think is more impressive? Because I think they're both pretty impressive. Linda, which one do you like better?
I think the Eagles are way better than the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are fine. I think, you know, obviously they went out and won a game that nobody thought they should have won. Now they went against an entire secondary of backups. There were plenty of injuries. I don't think Tua should have played. I don't think the NFL can force feed us player safety first after what we witnessed. I mean, he was clearly dizzy and couldn't stand upright, but they were like, no, it's a back injury. Now, I've had back injuries. They've never made me dizzy.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of concerns. Like, that's just not something I love to see because I love the sport. I know the consequences that come with playing it. I understand the risks, but when you're seeing it play out like that, it's the rest of the game was very uncomfortable for me to watch. That being said, they took care of business. They won a game they shouldn't have won. And that is a good team. But I think the Eagles are just eating some crow on Jalen Hurts, who I always thought had fantasy upside, but I wasn't sure what he was going to do in the real football world. And so far, they're just playing absolute lights out on both sides of the field. So I think they're a great, great football team right now.
Yeah, that wobbly Tua was not back injury, Linda. That was Linda walking out of an OSU game, Linda.
Yeah, that looked like me after 14 trulies. And listen, nobody needs to be playing like that.
Yeah, and the NFLPA is looking into that and how they treated that and concussion protocol. And they are going to look into that, which I was happy to hear, just to make sure that, you know, these guys' safety comes first. And the NFLPA is definitely out for that. Kev, I think I know your answer to this, but do the Dolphins have any chance of being as impressive to you as the Eagles?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Dolphins' schedule, I mean, look at their schedule. Jets, Vikings, Steelers, at the Lions, at the Bears versus the Browns, Texans. Like, what's that? 4-8. They could legitimately start 11-0. Like, I mean, I think they'll slip up one of these games, but I mean, they can come out of this AFC East. I mean, they already beat Buffalo. They already beat Patriots. So, I mean, they've got a leg up on their entire division right now, at least just with those two interdivisional games. So, I mean, the tough part of their schedule doesn't come until later because they have Chargers, Bills, Packers, Patriots, Jets to round out the season. 49ers, too. I mean, if you want to count them. I mean, if they scored 10 points against the Broncos. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's setting up really well for the Miami Dolphins. We always knew they were going to be kind of a track meet offense and we daring teams to kind of keep up with them. Right now, it's looking like that. And I know there was a question, too, in the chat. Would you trade Waddle for Mike Evans right now? No. Just replay that Kelly Kapoor video. Like, no, absolutely not.
And I love Mike Evans, but yeah, I want a piece of that Dolphins offense. So I would keep Waddle in that position. I do like the fact that they're scheming those playmakers to make plays. And that's what this offense is going to look like. And we talked about it a little, I guess it was last week, where it was like, that's going to be an exciting offense that can just come back in a game like that, like they did against Baltimore. They could just get the ball in those playmakers' hands and watch them do work. And that's going to be an exciting team to watch. So I think that I would say that they're the more impressive of the two teams for me because they did have that signature win against Buffalo and that come from behind win against Baltimore. So I'm not going to say they're the better of the two teams we're comparing, but at this point in time, they've been the most impressive to me. So, you know, answering that question word for word, I think those two wins make them the more impressive of the two teams, but they are really both exciting. And I think both of them have a good chance.
Literal ass motherfucker.
That's good.
But look, Tua's not going to be in that MVP conversation like you were talking about. Hurts, you know, possibly being in. I do think Lamar can be in that MVP conversation. Obviously, Josh Allen is going to be one of the front runners for that conversation. But both of those, Hurts and Lamar, are going to be in that conversation, guys. So we'll touch on that as the season progresses, and we'll start talking about way too early MVP candidates. But right now, we got the Kevin Tompkins injury report, baby. Take us through.
That's right. The doctor is in. Welcome to the Kevin Tompkins injury report. I am Kevin Tompkins, of course, not a doctor. let's start out with Mac Jones of the New England Patriots with a reported high ankle sprain, likely out a few weeks. We know those high ankle sprains are very, very dangerous. You know, there's usually an extended time frame with those. We might be looking at the Brian Hoyer show, everybody. This it might get tough for the old New England Patriots coming up here, but hopefully we get a bullish timeline of Mac Jones, and it's a lot better than the high ankle sprain, but right now it's not looking great. David Montgomery, head coach Matt Eberflus, insisting on day-to-day his status. But for that kind of ankle injury that he had, it's possible it could be that high ankle or it could be an MCL sprain. That's like the worst case scenario, both of which likely to result in multiple weeks out. We know Buffalo. We know Chicago wants to run the ball. I mean, that's the only thing that they've been able to do for the first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, they're certainly not passing the ball and show no willingness to do that. So Khalil Herbert looks like a high-end RB2 if he just slots in for Montgomery. Last week, Trustin Ebner did mix in as soon as Montgomery got hurt. But in the second half, Herbert outsnapped Ebner 20-2. So it looks like that Eberflus was going to ride the hot hand, but Herbert kind of forced his hand. So it's looking like a Khalil Herbert show in Chicago, as long as Montgomery is out, and it's likely he will be out for at least a couple weeks here. DeAndre Swift, we talked about him earlier, re-aggravated his ankle injury as well as spraining his shoulder. He did not look like DeAndre Swift. He was in pain for most of the game. So when he was out, it was Jamal Williams hip thrusting and getting personal fouls for unsportsmanlike
one
conduct.
One too many thrusts.
Yeah, one too many thrusts there for old Swag Daddy. So, if he is in the lineup, and like he's already been a top 10 running back, now that he's going to be getting starter level work in that improved Detroit Lions offense, I mean, probably the same as Khalil Herbert. He's probably a high-end RB2 that can have some spike weeks because we know he's going to be getting some of that work, and Craig Reynolds is probably going to get a little bit involved, but I don't see him taking too much off the top for Jamal Williams. Dalvin Cook suffered a shoulder subluxation. That's a partial dislocation for you laymans. Will result in likely a week or two. We know Dalvin Cook has had a pretty extensive history with his shoulder injuries. And just injuries in particular. So the yearly Alex Mattison waiver claim is now in effect here for week four. So go bid him up. It's likely he is out there in plenty of leagues for you to get somewhere close to an RB2, RB1 kind of workload if Cook is going to miss week four. Michael Thomas, we talked about a lot about running backs. I wonder why that is. It's like running backs get hurt more often than wide receivers. I mean, not that I would have a stake in the game or anything. Michael Thomas injured his toe on the opposite foot that he had that ankle injury, but should play in week four, barring any more news. They did say that he escaped major injury with that toe, which would have likely kept him out multiple weeks. So some good news there for Michael Thomas. He left the game in week three, did not return. That has been the Kevin Tompkins injury report. Up to you, JP and Booth.
Hey, thanks, Kev. And Michael Thomas's running mate there, Jarvis Landry, also left the game with a foot injury. Both are said to not be anything major, and both should be playable. But hey, look at Pierre's comment there, because talking about painful and injury, Pierre's going to be at Lambeau watching Hoyer on Sunday. Cold weather and Hoyer, ugh.
I just want to say that Brian Hoyer's actual first name is Axel, which I'm not sure why he's not going by, because he probably had gotten a starting quarterback job if he went by Axel Hoyer. I'm just saying.
Is that a serious thing?
I don't know. Mike shared a tweet. I didn't do any further research.
If so.
I just took it at face value, man. I ran with it. So I just had to put that out there.
I mean, I would recruit Axel Hoyer to be my quarterback. Like, he sounds badass. Right? Brian sounds like a little dweeb. But we talk about the injured guys, right? So we talk about guys that we want to pick up for those injured guys. And you touched on Khalil Herbert and some of those backup running backs. But Linda, non-running back-wise, is there any big waiver targets that you're looking at?
So I put three on the list because I'm a glutton. And we got Michael Gallup, who is not playing tonight. I don't think. I think him and Schultz are both out. Yep. But when he comes back, if you have a bench that you can stash him on, personally, I dropped Darnell Mooney today to pick up Michael Gallup. I don't feel like I'm going to miss a whole lot of production. Hey, Kev, I don't like it either, brother.
No, that wasn't for that. That wasn't for that. Wardrobe change.
Okay. But, you know, if your bench is long enough or deep enough, I think you can stash him there until he's healthy. See what he has when he comes back. Tyler Conklin is like tight end 3 so far in the season. Coop is not here. I'm sure Coop would tell me why Tyler Conklin is like a terrible bet to keep going at this production level, but he's not here. So I'm going to say whatever I want. And looks, I say
something about Randy McMichael, Conklin. Linda, something about Randy McMichael.
excuse me. Michael Gallup's rostered in 36% on Yahoo, 47% on ESPN. Tyler Conklin, 21% Yahoo, 11% ESPN. And then the last one who I think you can get out ahead of the crowd on is Zay Jones. If Zay Jones has the same kind of level play as this week and week one, in week 4, he is going to be in every single waiver wire target piece next week. I don't think he's going to meet those pieces this week, but if he continues to get 21.6% of that target share and he continues to produce with Trevor Lawrence clearly, I mean, Urban Meyer, what the fuck happened last year? Because the Jaguars look competent. You know, Trevor Lawrence looks great. He's throwing dots all over the field, and Zay Jones and him clearly have, hey, I know, I'm just saying. They all suck. All tight ends suck. You know, fuck, he's better than Cole Kmet, apparently. But Zay Jones is a guy that I think next week when we have this conversation, he'll be on everybody's list. He's rostered in 10% on Yahoo, 8% on ESPN. And again, if your bench is deep enough to stash him there, I mean, like, I took him late in a lot of really deep drafts that he's already in my starting lineup, like, without hesitation. So I love that.
I have 15.5% Zay Jones shares across my rosters, and I love that call because I thought he could be that outside receiver that has the biggest threat. And obviously, Kirk's been playing great, but you look at what happened this past week, right? He had a tough matchup in the slot. And yes, I think he did score a touchdown, but he didn't have as productive as a game as we saw like the previous week. And that's when guys like Zay Jones are able to step up, and they're going to have those matchups. You're not always going to play bum slot corners. Every once in a while, you play a good one like you did this week. So I love that Zay Jones call there, and my rostership of him thanks you for that, Linda. Kev, what about you?
I just want to start off by saying through 12 keystrokes, I did find out that Brian Hoyer, his real name is Axel. His father was named Axel. So he might be Axel the Second. I mean, that sounds like something out of Game of Thrones.
He's not a single Axel. He's a double Axel.
Oh, my God. Get the Axana Bayul takes out of here right now. We're now fantasy figure skating podcast, by the way. So for me, I threw a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver just to kind of go right down the line. Marcus Mariota only rostered in 21.5% on ESPN leagues. Guess what, guys? There are two quarterbacks. Actually, there are three quarterbacks, two of them being Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, that have 90-plus rushing yards and multiple rushing touchdowns on the season. Jackson, Hurts, and Marcus Mariota. So if you want that rushing upside and you don't have to pay a lot for it, go get Marcus Mariota. The schedule toughens up just a little bit because they do play Cleveland at Tampa, San Francisco. That's a bit of a stretch. But if you have, for some reason, Mac Jones or you're waiting on Dak Prescott, you're playing kind of quarterback carousel and you're looking for maybe someone that has a little bit of spike week potential with the two weapons, we know Drake London and Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson as well. I mean, why not take a shot on Marcus Mariota? So I like him definitely as far as a quarterback waiver claim. Khalil Herbert, we touched on earlier. I think he has RB1 spike week potential, probably more of an RB2 with the strength or lack thereof of the Chicago Bears offense. I think he can put up yards. I think he can catch the ball. I think he can get receiving yards. Don't know about the touchdowns, but at least can get you some, he's going to get used in the offense. Like, but if Chicago's going to do anything, it's run the ball. I like him there as far as if you need a running back and you have the Dalvin Cooks or DeAndre Swift, you're looking for those guys. If you have David Montgomery, go get Khalil Herbert. I mean, no matter what league you should be in, he's probably, if not the top waiver claim, at least probably in the top three of guys that you should be getting right now and putting a lot of your budget, or if you have like the number one or number two claim, using that for a running back that could probably get you 3 or 4 weeks of production there. And then Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs got a huge spike in his route percentage and his snap percentage last week. Was the most productive of the Packers wide receivers last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, Sammy Watkins is out. We know Alan Lazard is going to be getting most of the routes, most of the snaps, but he's really not a target earner in that offense. If there's, and we've been waiting on one of these young guys to be able to step up. Christian Watson did not play in week three. That gave Romeo Doubs a big opportunity. Ran 95% of routes, caught all eight targets, 73 yards and a touchdown. Granted, they were a little bit shorter. His ADOT was not very high, but Aaron Rodgers had to do a lot of checking down from what Tampa gave him on defense. That was a slugfest. So I can see that opening up quite a bit as the schedule softens up for Green Bay. Like I said, they play New England. That's Giants. I mean, that's a pretty good, at least a trio there of teams that Green Bay can pass a little bit on. If Romeo Doubs is for real, like, get it on the ground floor now, because if you don't get him this week, you're probably not going to get a shot at him.
Yep, I like that, Kevin. I love the Mariota call, because if you recall, as we were texting through the preseason, he's the guy who I'm rostering as my quarterback in my Dynasty League, kind of in a rebuilding year. And I was afraid that he might actually be too good for fantasy for my rebuild, because he might not be the greatest of NFL quarterbacks, but he's good for fantasy. He has the rushing upside, like you mentioned, and he's showing it. Like, even with the tough matchups that you're mentioning, he's going to get pressure. He's going to have to scramble. He's going to get rushing yards out of that. So, I like that call a lot, because that's somebody, like you said, there have been some quarterback injuries, people who play in quarterback carousel. That's a guy that's out there. So you can grab him. And while he's not that sexy option, because he's not like that top tier actual quarterback, he's a good fantasy quarterback. He puts up points. So I like that. A couple of guys I'm going to mention are just sneaky stash guys. Guys that if you're 3-0, if you're 2-1, you have a deep bench, guys you want to just kind of hold on to that might be there for your playoff run. One of them at quarterback would be Kenny Pickett, because I feel like that team is going to transition over to Pickett at some point. It might not be in the next week or two, but by midseason, when you're making your push for the playoffs and making your playoff run, I would pretty much guarantee you that he's going to be the starting quarterback there at that point. So that's a guy that you could pick up and stash. And Tyler Allgeier, I mean, you look at what Cordarrelle Patterson's doing. He's putting up great numbers as a running back, but they've said it, and you saw how he wore down at the end of last year. They don't want to give him the same workload that he handled last year, and that's why they went out and they drafted Allgeier, so that he could take some of those goal line looks, some of those hard runs, those ground and pound yardage. That's the guy who they want to do that. So some of that production you're seeing from Patterson is going to end up transitioning over to Allgeier. So he's a guy that you can grab and stash for as that transition starts to happen, you get ahead of that. So those are just two guys that aren't going to maybe pay dividends for you next week in your lineup. But if you have room to put them on your bench, I would stash those guys. So Monday Night Football coming up, guys. We're just approaching kickoff now. It's not much of a sexy matchup. It is an NFC East battle, you know, two historic teams that don't like each other much. But, guys, it's Daniel Jones against Cooper Rush. I mean, you know, we can't really be that excited about this. Real quick, anything that you're looking forward to the most tonight, Linda?
If you change the narrative to it's Saquon Barkley versus Ezekiel Elliott, it becomes a little bit more interesting, or like, you know, that's really it. That's really the only angle I got for you. But I'm going to watch all four quarters, because it's still too early in the season for me to bail on football games.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Kev, anything you're looking forward to?
I mean, if we want to really change the narrative, I think it's Peyton Hendershot versus David Sills, but that's just me.
Of course,
I had to start David Sills this week, so
we all have to pinch our pennies in this economy. I'm just saying, I put this into one of the group chats about Peyton Hendershot. I just have a feeling. I put him into a showdown lineup just for funsies, so we'll see. Might be the only person who rostered him.
Maybe slate winner there for you. I'm looking forward to seeing if CD Lamb actually gets involved in this offense. I mean, I have a couple of shares of CD where he was falling to me in drafts, and so far they've been disappointing. And obviously you kind of take some of that with a grain of salt, losing his quarterback. But I mean, if the guy's as talented as we know that he really is, let's see him step up with a backup quarterback in a game they need to win against a divisional opponent that is a surprising 2-0 that you want to put back on their behind today. So I'm looking to see if we can get a little bit of the expected CD Lamb tonight. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. Final thoughts, guys. Final thoughts. Real quick, Kev, anything you want to say as a final thought?
Zero RB works. That's all I got.
Fuck you. Oh, did I say that out loud?
My bad. You know what? Linda is pretty much zero RB adjacent too, so we'll roll with that.
Yeah, I got some zero RB in me. I'm like the redheaded stepchild,
a recreational zero RB enthusiast.
Every kind of strategy just crammed in. Whatever I'm feeling, I let the truly pick.
Let the truly pick.
Nice. Final thoughts, Linda?
No, I don't have any final thoughts. But it was good to be back this week.
Yes, it was. It was good to have you back. And my final thoughts were, children are amazing, guys. My son is turning 1 in 2 weeks, and he's starting to walk. And it's amazing just watching the progression of his life from, you know, the time he was born less than a year ago to where he's at now in a year. Just hearing the dad, seeing him play with the dog, seeing him start to take his first steps, getting more rushing yards than Joe Mixon yesterday. I mean, go to my Twitter page. You'll see a really cute picture of him in a Bucks hat from today and a video that I posted yesterday, him walking. So my closing thoughts are just around my little boy. I love my little boy. But thank you to all of you guys out there. Thank you to anybody who tuned in today, anybody who chimed in on the chat. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for your interactions. Thank you to Razzball for hosting us here. Definitely check out the Razzball YouTube channel, the Fantasy Besties Twitter page, and Razzball.com. For Kevin, Linda, and the not-present Coop and Loop, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.